repeating back
what you were saying
in
reverse.
That's
not right. That's the
filter. We're back to the flanger. So I went to camp with this person, and they were very good. Like, give them any word. Doesn't matter what the word is. Without practice, or I guess they probably did practice, but they could repeat it back to you backwards perfectly. Very, very quickly. It was a very impressive talent. Completely useless. Unmarketable. But it's a fun party trick, I guess. Especially when you're in, like, I don't know, fifth grade.
Right?
Who's gonna... That's a
cool one, I gotta say.
So it's 9 p.m.
You're listening to 91.5 FM
WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And now starts...
the next show.
Gotta set that up on the website.
Let's make a new playlist.
They changed up the... Ah, there it is. They updated the system.
Made it very tough
to do things.
But here we go. We're listening to
Soft Machine with the song
Over and Above.
I like this song. Bum, bum, ba-dum. So apparently there's a delay
on this. I have now realized.
If you have any...
I knew that there was a request for the flanger to come back.
If you
liked any of the other effects...
Unfortunately, I cannot
combine them. But
if you're a fan,
let me know which ones you like.
And maybe I'll
show up early in the next show.
I can see what other cool things I can do with the effects. Oh, actually, I got a prop.
We have these nice
plastic
dividers for our records
so that, like, you can tell
where Mozart, for instance, starts.
This one's labeled Mozart, but it was
in the rock library, so I don't
think there was any Mozart there.
So I just yanked it, and it makes really good sounds. I don't know if I can get it with one hand.
Let's see how I'm gonna do this. All right, this is... I want to see what happens with reverse.
Sir,
Turns out it sounds pretty much the same forwards
as it does backwards.
How about that? Who would have thunk it?
All right, so lately I have been watching this TV show called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which, you know, it has so many little references in it. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a reference to, you know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, followed by Bill and Ted's Most Bogus Journey, or just Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of relation, because that show is so full of other references. I'm going to look up some of the character names in it. Some of the ones, it's an anime. If you've seen the meme where something really bad is about to happen, and then it starts playing Roundabout by Yes, and it says to be continued at the bottom, and it like freeze frames right before, like, I don't know, a kid gets knocked off a swing, or I don't know, something like somebody, they're mostly really bad, just things that are like, that just seems easily avoidable, accidents that shouldn't have happened, like somebody, you know, walking out into the middle of a field during a rainstorm with an umbrella, and then you see the flash in the sky, and then it freeze frame, to be continued, and Roundabout plays. So it's a fun meme format for sure. But let's look up JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. One of the more recent characters in it that I really got a kick out of is AC/DC. But it's spelled, let's see if I can find it. Let's just look up references. References. There we go. List of cultural references in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I love the internet. It's all like right there at your fingertips. So let's see. Oh yeah, there's a guy named Robert E.O. Speedwagon. That one's really easy. There's a character called Tom Petty. I didn't even get that one. There are two characters named Dyer and Straitzo. That's a silly one. It's a kid named Poco. There's someone named Tarkus. Bruford, as in Bill Bruford from Yes. Someone named Doobie from the Doobie Brothers. And then there was one, they introduced these four monsters all at the same time, and it was like, oh no, that is Page, Jones, Plant, and Bonham. I was like, all right, yep, Led Zeppelin, got it. there's a lot of silly stuff. There's also there's just someone named Styx. It's like, all right, it's not even subtle. Somebody else, last name is Zeppeli, from based off Led Zeppelin. There's a lot of really silly references like that. And there are these two guys introduced at the same time as, oh, it's Loggins and Messina. So, yep. There's one other guy called Cars. And another called Santana. There's also just someone named Donovan. It's a nice reference to, you know, Donovan. Let's see. Ooh, and this is the next season's references. Someone named Devo the Cursed. That's fun. Someone named Rubber Soul. They're just like, as the series goes on, they're getting less and less subtle. Someone named Nina, Jay Guile. That's silly and fun. And then they end every single episode with Roundabout by Yes, which is a great way to end an episode. It's one of the better closing credits songs, I would say, in fact. Out of, you know, you hear a lot of closing theme songs. I was actually thinking about having that be part of my show. Maybe I'll do that after the interview, which is going to be played in about 20 seconds. So get excited. Amanda, I think that she starts off with a song by Bronze Radio Return and then goes into the interview. She was lucky enough to interview the band backstage before their concert about a month ago. And it's being aired first here, starting now.
So I guess to start, since I'm coming from college radio, I wanted to just kind of see, well, so let me go back. Your song Where I'm Coming From has been one of my favorites, and it was from an older album, but
oh my gosh,
I listen to that all the time, and so I kind of taking that title, like, wanted to see where you guys were at when you were 21, like college age, like just kind of get a little tidbit from each of you. Like, I thought that'd be a cool way to start, just since we're all in college. And
totally.
Yeah, hear about that a little bit. Totally. Yeah.
I think a lot of the time we still are 21.
Yeah, living the life.
But yeah, I mean, most of us went to college together, and we were mm-hmm. in school when we were 21
right,
as well, obviously.
Right.
And I think at that point this band hadn't begun yet, but
right.
we kind of knew each other and mm-hmm. made music otherwise.
Right.
And I think we were all still trying to figure out where our lives were heading at that
right.
point. And
right.
by the time we were 22 or 23, was kind of when this band started.
Right. Very
good. Going since.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think we were just trying to figure out, too, how do we not get regular jobs?
Yeah.
How can
exactly,
we just
yeah.
work in this incredibly competitive, ever-changing, vast, exciting, endless world of music that's
right.
like always kind of keeps you on your toes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just something like scary and exciting about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as you maybe think you have a mini piece of it figured out, it's, you know, absolutely nothing.
Right.
So I think it was for us, or for me speaking about myself, it's like, how do we make this become like a way that we can use it as a vehicle to explore and make music together?
Mm-hmm. Very cool, yeah.
Yeah, and just like remember, I mean, the 4 years that you have in school, it's like they kind of like force you to feel like you've got to like get everything together in those 4 years so you can
mm-hmm.
go out to the real world and
for
like
sure.
make it happen for yourself. And that's
right.
like kind of like a very intimidating thing to think about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but while I was there, I just remember being so focused and like wanting to like just be able to do it when I left it.
Right.
You know, so it's like all my energy kind of went into that, that whole thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I didn't know really where I was going, but
right.
like music was definitely what I wanted to do.
Right.
You
yeah.
know?
Exactly.
That's a good point though. It's like you kind of have this pressure in school, I feel like sometimes like you better have all this figured out
yeah.
before you go out there. But the reality is it's like when you leave college, that's also kind of right when you start figuring shit out.
Right.
You know? It's like
sure.
there's a lot of
I feel
shit.
Like 25 or 26 is like the new 22.
Truly,
you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a premium to have a job right out of school.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna do another 4 years.
And it's
average.
Like, geez,
yeah.
like, get some breathing room
right.
somewhere
exactly.
in there and go travel. And I think maybe more. I feel like maybe nowadays more people are doing that. Maybe they're deferring a year
yeah.
or and they're traveling a little
mm-hmm.
bit more. And
right.
I think that's kind of cool.
It is really cool. Yeah, no, definitely getting that break for a second.
Yeah. Right.
So I guess coming from that, like, was there a moment when y'all knew, like, I guess if you formed at 23-ish, like, that you knew this was going to pan out? Because now you've had, like, 6 albums, 2 EPs, like,
yeah.
that's crazy. Like, did you ever know for sure that it was like, okay, we did it, we don't have to work 9 to 5s, like, I don't
we
know.
We kind of, like, set, like, goals along the way.
Yeah.
Just, like, stepping stones. Like, it was never like, let's just get on a tour bus and, like, do this.
Right.
Like, it was kind of like, how do we set up like measuring marks for ourselves to make sure we feel like we're heading in the right direction.
Right.
And I don't know if there was an exact moment when that clicked of like, oh man, like now this is done, because I feel like there's this like trickle effect where you have a job for a while, but you play in a band, you're working on this thing.
Right.
And then you have to start taking off so much time from that job to do this stuff.
Right.
And there's this
right.
like weird gray zone thing that happens until you're finally full time. But when you know
right.
It was like
that's
around
fair.
2012 is like was like the tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
I think really that it was like, okay, we're like Chris
said, we're so busy.
Right.
We have to, it's like, it was just starting to ramp up. Mm-hmm. So we had to just focus right. everything in.
Right. And that at that point, how many albums did you have? That was like two?
We were just finishing one.
Then, okay, so fast forward to now, you got this brand new album that just came out a couple days ago, which is really cool, and I guess you've been making music now for 10 plus years, and how has your songwriting approach, like, changed, just trying to stay relevant and keeping your own elements, though, preserving your sound, you know?
I think part of it is embracing that it has to change.
Yeah, that's true.
I think part of it is just understanding that it ebbs and flows, and we've got to have a certain amount of malleability and openness to try new mm-hmm. things. I think if someone were to listen to our first recordings, listen to our latest recordings, you'd definitely hear what would hopefully be considered growth.
Right.
But, you know, it's definitely going to kind of bounce around a little bit. But that's how mm-hmm. I think people are in life.
Right. Like,
you're not just going to do the same thing every day, or hopefully not. And
for sure. Music,
it was the same with us. We were determined to keep making music that we were stoked about. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the only plan.
Right. That's very cool. Yeah. And then I guess, like, so I'm in a band as well. I do keys and vocals. The name is, it's We're Devlin et al. Our drummer's name is Devlin, so
I
pull that in out.
Cool. Are you guys on Spotify or Insta?
We're just on Bandcamp right now. We like haven't gotten nice recordings done yet, but
cool.
Yeah, so we're just like beginnings. But I know, like, for our songwriting process, like, it can start from anyone in the band. Like, I'll bring in an idea, like some words and the chords and stuff, or like our guitar player will do the same thing. So, like, what do you guys do? Like, is there one lead songwriter, or what's your approach to that?
I typically get the ball rolling
okay.
and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and I try to get a collection of rough ideas that aren't, like, I wouldn't really consider them full songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it's not like, I don't feel like I'm the only songwriter in the band.
Right.
I think that I take the job of getting things going, and then the songs get written when we're all together
right, yeah.
in the studio. So it's an entirely collaborative process mm-hmm. As far as, like, just starting it, mm-hmm. that was starting.
Right, very cool, yeah. Yeah, do you guys have anything, like, when you're working on a new song, like, what's your approach to, like, fitting it?
I think the last few records we made, when we get to the studio, like, after Chris sends something around,
yeah.
we break off into, like, little pods.
Okay, cool,
in
yeah.
little worlds, and I think that makes a total difference.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
you can hash through some ideas that maybe either you're like, this is, I don't know if this is going to be cool, let me try it, and then you're not in a room full of people trying it, so you can mm-hmm. you're able to sit down there and just do 20 versions if you want.
Right,
and
right.
then listen the next day and be like, whoa. 10 yeah. of those were not good, you know,
right.
or they were cool, and then you shipped around.
Yeah, very cool.
And one thing that we don't do that we see a lot of bands do, though, is road testing material.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we kind of stopped doing after maybe our second or third record.
Right.
In that we take almost the opposite approach of, we're going to go into the studio and figure out how to put this song together,
mm-hmm.
and then after that we're going to figure out how to incorporate all those elements into the live show.
Right, right.
Instead of, you know, going out and trying to make tweaks as mm-hmm. we're touring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that, with that process we found, is that it kind of keeps you open to other ideas. When we get in there, we have initial reactions to parts we want to play and kind of approaches. But when you start road testing stuff, which is really cool,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, downplaying that by any means, but you kind of start to, like, wear in the grooves of, like, this is what feels right. You start
right.
to, before, instead of, like, let's build it this way where we can really be open-minded.
Right, right, very cool, yeah. And then, so I read in a past interview somewhere that you said, like, you're trying to get people moving in your live shows, and, like, do you have an approach to that, or is it just kind of like, let's do it live, like, figure it out? How do you approach that to, like, stage presence and stuff?
Just collective energy
yeah.
is a lot of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it's receiving that from the crowd as
right.
well, you know, that
right.
kind of makes
yeah.
us go more.
Some nights are easier than others.
Yeah, for sure.
And some nights, I'll see Chris working harder, or someone engaging a little bit differently, or,
mm-hmm.
or moving around the room to just, because it's not always handed to you, like, they're
right.
like, you know, sometimes they want to be like, all
right,
come on,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so.
It is that connection, you know, and sometimes I know, like, especially now for me, I feel like it's important to be able to really see the audience, like, look at them too.
Yeah.
think it's having that connection with them, I think, is kind of it's like a special part of like the performance too, you right. know, like I don't like it when the rooms are like too dark or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You can't like really tell what's going on out there. Yeah. If people are into what's going on, you can't really. You're not, you know, talking to them, but it is kind of like a conversation in a way. Right. And if that circuit isn't like open, it's kind of like a weird kind of
no,
thing.
The disconnect.
So yeah. The connection.
Things. Right. Yeah.
I think too, like the show, and I say this a lot, but I firmly stand behind it. The show is really the shortest part of our day.
Sure.
You know? So if like that isn't the most fun, like the most energy and the most right. like excited you are,
yeah.
then you gotta go do something else.
Right.
You know? So we're
right.
out there, we are genuinely very excited and love the energy.
Right, that's awesome, yeah. I think somebody might have knocked, I don't know. Sure, yeah. There it is.
Well, he's on there. Where are you from?
I'm from Maine.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, which was a follow-up question, actually. I read somewhere art studio in Maine inspired the idea.
Yeah, where are Maine from?
From York.
From York?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
I live in Portland.
Oh, cool. Okay. Were you always in Portland or?
No, I lived in Connecticut for a while.
Okay, yeah.
We were in Paxton, Long Island. We lived in Connecticut, and then I lived in Oklahoma for a couple of years.
Right.
And then
mm-hmm.
I just moved to back to Portland.
Right. Portland's
Maine
great.
100%.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Love it. Yeah. You guys have a show there in a couple days,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friday.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That's or Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. In Portsmouth too. I was just like looking ahead.
Yeah.
I go to shows there all the time. But.
In Portsmouth.
Yeah. Yeah. And in mostly Portland because they've got a lot of nice venues.
It's been a minute since we played Portsmouth.
We've never played
we've
Portsmouth.
Never. Oh, a lot.
So yeah,
Dover.
It's been a lot of minutes.
Just
yeah.
Like, yeah. Where did we play Dover?
Oh, Dover's,
yeah,
yeah,
Dover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like smaller venues there too.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, Portsmouth is definitely up and coming. I've been saying I think it's gonna be the new Portland, Maine, because it's like just getting there.
It's such a cool town.
I love it. Yeah, that's like where I spent a lot of time growing up. But yeah, and then let's see. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I don't even know what time it is. What time is it?
It's 7:20.
Okay. That was kind of like the 20 minutes. I don't know if you guys have time for more.
Yeah,
okay, I don't want to distract you guys too much, but let's see. So I guess, let's see. Sorry, I'm just gonna get I went out of order, so now I'm throwing myself all off. Oh, okay, so I read somewhere as well that, I mean, you guys have had music on, I think it was Pandora, and there was a comment that like that helped you guys a lot. Like, but I know you started out in like 2008, back when iTunes was still a thing. And so I'm just kind of wondering like how like streaming platforms have maybe changed music for you, like especially as your like source of money, like since
yeah.
now people don't have to pay for music as much. Like, has that affected you guys a lot? It's like starting out earlier on when it was.
I think that kind of goes to what Chris said before
yeah.
about just adapting to. You know, like we're talking about, you have to adapt and evolve your music. We also just, you have to evolve with the technology. And,
right. Yeah.
And it's just, the reality is that when streaming came in, it was coming in strong and it's not going anywhere.
Right.
So you have to embrace it. And I feel like the people that sit back and complain about it are the ones that get left in the dust.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And while everyone else is trying to figure out how to monetize and capitalize on that whole system. And I
right.
think that we've always taken that attitude with it. And managed to stay above water,
right?
And sure, like yeah, everybody feels it, but I think now there are systems now that allow you to generate more revenue from streaming, and
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, it's all evolving.
Right.
Just piggybacking
yeah.
on that too, I think a big thing that is discussed but not as much in the streaming conversation.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, it would be great if there was more money, and it'd be great if
right.
the stream rate went up. Certainly an advocate for that. One positive thing that we've seen that has been kind of indirect monetarily thing is that it's a promotional tool for us, right? So
right.
we have people that come out, people that find our music
mm-hmm.
that maybe initially aren't paying for it, but they're folks that come out to shows and
mm-hmm.
it helps just kind of spread our music around. So
right.
I personally would say that I love that. And I think that that is a thing that has helped our fans
right.
have access.
Yeah, the accessibility, yeah. definitely.
I think the bigger problem now is just the fact that there's so much music
right.
available that
yeah.
it just, you know, it's harder to get your stuff to stand
right.
out. It's like there's some outrageous
right.
number of
it's just like, oh,
tens of thousands
over.
Of records that hit Spotify
yeah.
every day, and you're like,
right.
think about that, it's daunting.
It's crazy,
yeah.
yeah.
It's also kind of crazy too. When we started this band, like, it was really like
when's the album going up on iTunes?
Right.
That was it.
Right.
It was a singular thing, or like CD Baby, or like whatever it was. Or like,
yeah,
you
know.
And then now it's like, you see the list of like all the things it gets delivered to.
Right.
It's like, it's kind of crazy.
But that, we've seen that 95% of it at the top, though, is Spotify.
Yeah.
Not quite that high, but, you know, the biggest chunk of it for sure is Spotify.
Right.
And all the beans were once focused at, like you're saying, about iTunes.
iTunes, yeah. That's really funny. And then also, like, stemming from that, I'm a lover of album artwork. Like, I love checking it out on Spotify, but I feel like that's, like, a huge thing that was lost when we went to streaming platforms. Like, you just don't see that as much.
Totally.
But I guess I still want to know, like, especially off this new album, the album art is really cool, like, the little conglomeration of images and stuff, and I'm just wondering the story behind that, or how you decide, like, how you choose the art.
Well, we have to think about it more on this one, because this is the first time we've released music as singles, EPs,
right.
And again, that adaptability to, right. Like, how do we kind of extend this to keep people's attention?
Sure.
So we had to kind of think of a concept or, like, something that we could tie in to multiple releases. There are kind of these modules, these symbols for us, and how we were going to kind of be able to get multiple pieces of art out of this one concept.
Right, yeah.
It was cool. We actually had two separate artists work on it with somewhat of a commonality there of the modules, like Chris is saying.
Right.
So it was kind of cool to see how the two worlds, like one guy was a little bit more modern, like slicker pop, and then one guy was more like a, just like a more indie-er approach, I guess. Mm-hmm. And just, so it was kind of cool to see how the two melded.
Yeah, that is really cool.
I really like how it came out.
Right. And so the artists, do you guys usually just hire like random people? Like, do you know them? Like, how does that?
One of them, one guy actually, well, actually both of them we know.
Okay, yeah.
Neural, who did the two EPs and some other artwork for us that coincided with the album.
Yeah.
He has done Shake, Shake, Shake for us.
Right, yeah.
Did he do anything else?
He did a lot of other like designs. That was the only other album cover, but he did a lot of other design work.
And then this other guy, Mike Goose, is a new up-and-coming guy, and he's trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah,
so it was cool to see him do it up.
Yeah, well, I really liked it, so it turned out awesome.
On your point about the album art, it's also a bummer, too, that credits get so lost.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I had no idea who made that art.
That's tough, that there's no way to just easily look that up anymore. I mean, I think Spotify is actually just starting to come around, and they have a credits section now, but it's very limited.
Yeah. iTunes have that now. If like at the last songs, if you buy a whole album, the last thing, like the artwork that you click on.
I don't. Yeah, actually, I think sometimes they do have that. But honestly, I haven't used iTunes in a while. I don't know.
Yeah, some of them were doing. You could get like the digital booklet. You know.
Yeah. That's what I've seen.
The albums and stuff.
Yeah, which, those are really cool. But not the same as a tangible.
Yeah.
Thing.
Oh, yeah.
I've got like. My parents had a bunch of old CDs and then like some from when I was younger, and I took all the artwork out and like put it up on the walls, which it's like been my only way to like preserve and just has disappeared.
Cool.
Yeah. But anyways, I want to wrap up a little bit. Just like I mentioned, I'm in a band, so I'd love to hear any advice you guys have. Just like entering this like very competitive atmosphere, being in a band and trying to make it, like, or making music heard. Advice?
I think success is subjective.
Right.
Like, if you're like traveling around and you're enjoying what you're doing, then that's making it
right
to you.
For sure.
Like, you know, it's not all like the arenas and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff's cool.
Yeah.
But as long as you're happy doing it, that's it. That should be the baseline.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you have to just be prepared to hear no a million times before you hear yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, get used to that, and as long as you keep kind of trucking through it, stay true to like what you're trying to do.
Right.
Kind of sounds cliche, but
no, it's true though.
It's very true though. You know, it's like we've been a band for a while now. We've seen a lot of bands, and some that we're friends with that unfortunately had to call it quits because, you know, for one reason or another. And you know, I think it's hard to stand the test of time.
Yeah.
And you have to be surrounded by the right people and have the right attitude about it.
Right, yeah.
I think sticking to like being genuine and authentic, like something that is the lack of like cliche, like that's true to yourself. Because I feel like the masses
mean, if you love it, like, it's going to come through, you know, and that, like, no matter how much time you spend, you know, we're all are influenced by a bunch of people, you can listen to a bunch of different music. I mean, I think the time that you spend personally working on it, doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
I mean, in this case, music, I mean, your own personality is going to eventually come through. That's a special thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that that would be a good, more time you can spend just working at it, like, it's gonna, you know, you'll have an individual, you know.
Yeah.
Don't give yourself a fallback plan.
Right.
If you really want to do it, if you want to do it, it's just, you just gotta say, I'm going to do this. I'm gonna figure this out one way or another. There's no other option.
Yeah.
And also too, realize it's a job. It's an amazing job. It's an incredible job. But we've also seen people who don't take it like a job and are more into like the lifestyle or this or that, whatever thing that's into it. Like, it is straight up a job.
Right.
Touring is a job. This is a job, again, the best job in the world.
Right.
Recognizing that, like, this is work. This is great work. This is work that represents myself. But it's not just all like a party or like, let's just kind of like make sure people know we're in a rock band or something.
Yeah. Other people aren't going to do the work for you. No. You know, no matter what stage you get to, as far as the artistic side, you know, and retaining people's interest.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Totally.
Makes sense. Yeah, that's pretty much everything I had. I really appreciate it. I know you guys are...
Anywhere I stood, you were standing by. With me when I'm fine, with me when
was really nice. A big thank you to Bronze Radio Return and Amanda for the wonderful interview. We've just listened to three songs by them. Up first, we had Shake, 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 followed by With Me All Along, followed by what we're listening to right now, Good Company. And yeah, that was really cool. I've always enjoyed interviews, and they're pretty tough. And that was a pretty good job, especially backstage. And we don't really have, we have a lot of tech in the studio. We don't really have very much for going out on the road. Very good. If you're listening, Amanda, thank you very much. That was wonderful. And now time for a PSA. Oh, ooh, this was one of my first PSAs and I haven't seen this in a long time. It's been moved to the back. It has doodles all over it. It's very cute. When visiting a national forest, seeing a black bear can be a thrill. But if the bear rips through your tent for a granola bar, a carefree camping trip can turn deadly. Do your part to reduce black bear encounters by storing trash, food, and scented products such as toothpaste in a bear-proof container, your car's trunk, or high in a tree. Learn more online at fs.usda.gov/NFSNC. That's fs.usda.gov/NFSNC. This message is a public service of the U.S. Forest Service and this radio station. We care about bears and you. In fact, we simply couldn't bear it if anything bad happened to you. Coming up next, we've got some new music straight from my email inbox. Stay tuned. What lies ahead, I cannot guarantee. We could be last or we could be first. We could move on or in reverse. But either way, I'll be your company. But either way, I'll be your company. I could be home.
Got my weed and pen, a mud, a drink, and my head. Wanna make it nice and clear now. Listen up, y'all, you know I'm vicious. All you gotta do for dimes is to be ambitious. No more fighting the time, gotta be fearless. Feel the move. I never lose a chance to be a true queen in all senses. On a wave, yeah, starting on a wave to space, starting to my chase, yeah, boy, it's not a race. You know I'm a few steps ahead, I'm listening straight to the bass. Feeling the vibes, boy, music sounds better with ya. I'm ready to go up the south.
Well, that was a rather abrupt ending on Goodbye by Old Fashioned Lover Boy. And before that, Sora with Unchained. And coming up next, we're going to have LPF. That's L like E-L-L-E. LPF with In My Head. Some more new music
coming to your ears from here at WMFO. Oh, it's taking me to a different webpage. Oh, this is not the right song. This is Jerry Seinfeld's HBO debut. Interesting. Here's LPF in my head. Thank you. Well, what can I say? It's always a grab bag with new music, but you've been listening to the WMFO Music Director Hour here at WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Educational Radio. This is Birdland by Weather Report. And up before this, we had Reason Defined with their new song, Waves. And before that, lots more new music. So I figured let's take a little step back into the 70s with Birdland. Before I sign out, I will be here next week for my show's Highly Recommended, followed by the Music Director Hour. This very show and hour, in fact. And coming up next, we have DJ Tolstoy, joined by a guest and perhaps more guests to come. So don't go anywhere, and have a good night, all, and a very nice weekend. Come to our spring. Is it spring thing this weekend?
No, spring thing. This is like WMFO. Is that spring things in like 2 weeks?
All right. Well, we have a concert. So if you're a student, come on by. It's in Brown and Brew, right?
Yeah.
Yep.